Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now.
Each of us is going to find our own pathway forward and find our own best use of any kind of new technology. But for me, there's always been like that two stories. One is like, how does it change practice? How can we raise the standard of care through technology? And then how does it make our practices better and more efficient? And it's possible that you adopt a new technology actually and fail in both of those arenas. But you can also be wildly successful if you really think through it and kind of get that level of training.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Orthopreneurs Podcast. Today, I'm really excited about the person we've got. It's going to be amazing. Somebody I've looked up to for ages in the world of orthodontics, a clinician who is really regarded by everybody who knows him as being just really a superior clinician and a great teacher as well. And I'm just really excited to welcome Dr. Alex Waldman to our show. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much, Glenn. It's such a pleasure to be here and such an honor.
Yeah, well, the honor is all mine. I'm just, the best part about this job is I get to connect with people who I don't get to see on a regular basis. And I've really, really, really been looking forward to this for quite some time. And so just again, thank you for being here.
That's great.
So let's start like I do with everybody. And if you want to give us a little bit of an intro, how did you end up where you are now? However you want to define that, it could be your teaching, it could be your clinical, just, you know, how did you get where you are?
Well, I guess I'll start by how I physically got where I am now, which is actually in my home in Los Angeles at the moment. But I'm actually from New York, went to Penn College, Penn Dental, Harvard Ortho. But I met my wife on the first day of college. That's kind of our famous love story. And so we've been together. She's been through all my dental school wax ups and everything. And eventually we decided to settle out here by her family. And that's kind of how I got to the West Coast. So that's kind of my kind of physical story of how I'm here. In terms of my, you know, dental story, probably started when I, you know, fell when I was in high school and broke a tooth and had a crown done and really just like saw this whole world of actually prosthetic dentistry at the time, but really opened my eyes. And in college was actually a history major in pre-med, but eventually, you know, decided to go to dental. And that kind of eventually led to my love of ortho, and here I am. So
right on. History and pre-med. That's a very interesting combination. Are you still like a history guy? Do you love reading, you know, historical fiction or historical books?
Absolutely. I read a ton. And actually, my major was intellectual history, which is the kind of history of ideas and kind of how ideas have changed over time and how people think. So it's like a mixture of philosophy, kind of history of science, history of, you know, religion, things like that, all combined into one discipline. So it's really, really interesting and a good foil to the medical stuff as well.
Nice. Intellectual history. You know, at first when you said it, I thought like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hate intellectual. It sounds like something somebody dreamt up in some, you know, philosophy lab somewhere, but it sounds pretty cool. I have to ask, since I have you here, since I love history as well, something we have in common. Any good books you're reading right now? Anything worth mentioning so everybody out there can hear? Sorry for putting you on the spot with this one.
Right now, I'm actually reading a historical fiction that my wife actually recommended. I said, I need something easy. I've been reading like a lot of heavy stuff. She said to read the Nightingale, which is a really very emotional, deep story about, you know, World War II, about two French women in World War II. You know, it's not history per se, but it's an important part of world history and kind of really interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to go pick it up. I'm going to read it. There's one
turned into a movie recently, I believe.
Nightingale?
Yeah. the Nightingale.
Okay. I'll go check it out. There's a book just like that called A Woman of No Importance, I think it's what it's called, or A Woman of No Significance. I have it over here somewhere, about a woman who essentially caused the French resistance to exist. She's an American woman with a wooden leg. Great story about how she literally, like, she was the key reason why the Germans were being pestered by the French resistance in France during World War II. And for everybody else out there who's not a history, doesn't love history, sorry, too bad. My podcast, my guest, we get to talk history if we want to. But I think it's like A Woman of No Importance or A Woman of Little Importance. I don't remember exactly, but it's a great book. So I'm going to read Nightingale. If you read that, the other one, we can compare notes when I see you. And spoiler alert, you know, I'm gonna be seeing him at some point in the next couple of months, and you'll understand and hear more about that because you can have the opportunity to do the same. So I know you're a huge advocate of, you know, the term of, you know, digital orthodontics or digital orthodontic practice, if you will. First, before we go any further with this, you know, there's a lot of doctors out there who say, I have a digital practice, but, you know, they're saying it because they've got a computer instead of analog, you know, books that, you know, appointments are put on, and maybe they scan as well, and they call that a digital practice. That's not what we're talking about here, right?
Right.
Can you just define, when we talk about 100% digital practice, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So for me, it means a few things. On kind of the very basic side, it means that every appliance kind of system or category that you're using in your practice, whether it's aligners, brackets, or appliances, go through some digital workflow to be produced. So aligners, obviously, something like, you know, 3D printed brackets or, you know, digital IDB. And of course, like, you know, 3D printed metal sintered appliances. So that would be like kind of the genre of appliances that we're talking about here. But I love how you frame that up, because for me, it's not just about having, right, the computer or the scanner, because you can actually have a full digital workflow, but not actually have yet a digital mindset. Meaning, digital workflow should be more about just having the fancy bells and whistles, right? It should be about changing how you practice and the kind of care you're able to offer your patients through some level of customization that's offered through that digital experience, and how you can actually change your practice also in terms of the doctor and the patient experience, in terms of efficiency and kind of ease of access, et cetera. And that requires a change in mindset. Like, it's very possible that you could have actually an aligner practice, let's say, let's just use that as an example, and maybe still see your patients every 4 weeks because you believe that it's important to see your patients every 4 weeks. And you never change that part of your mindset, even though you have a digital workflow. Whereas, for instance, in our practice, we use dental monitoring, and there's other, you know, great remote monitoring systems out there that just happens to be the one that we use because we started back in 2018, and it was the only one and still really works well in our hands. So we've been using that. And, you know, so we see our patients, you know, every few months and are very comfortable giving them many aligners. Why? Because we have that digital workflow. We have that mindset where we understand this is a pre-programmed customized appliance. We don't need to see patients perhaps in the same way that we did before. So that would be an example of changing your mindset about how you're seeing the patient, how you think about that level of customization and what it does.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think, especially in a lot of the Facebook groups, right, whether it's Orthopreneurs, The Digital Orthodontist by Kyle Fagel, who runs that one, Orthodontic Pearls, there's so many conversations about new technology. And I feel like all too often people hear something about new technology, they decide they want it before they even know what they're getting. So they're setting themselves up for failure. And then the part that really irks me is when they ask somebody on the group to tell them how to use it, right? So I'll just use a quick example.
Sure.
Back in the day when I was speaking for Henry Schein Ortho on the motion appliance, right? Mm-hmm. By the Carrier motion appliance. I loved it for class 2 correction when it was a maxillary problem and maybe a little bit of mandibular associated with it. And I would show cases before and after, and people go, well, I got to start using it. Mm-hmm. Well, right? There is not the mindset. There is the, it looks like it works, I'll start using it. And then they would say, how do you use it? Like, literally, teach me the whole Bible while I stand on one leg, right? Like, do your patients really deserve you to be working on them. When you reached out to me and said, okay, now how do I use it? I'm giving you three sentences and that's how you're going to treat a patient. And I think the mindset is not only changing the protocols like you talked about, but buying into the concept that I need to learn how to use this, right? I can't just, okay, cool, I'm going to be in a line of practice. Okay, we're going to see people every 12 weeks and let's get them in. I think, right. Would you agree that there has to be a significant change in just like the way people are educated on these things rather than just the herd mentality? Or am
yeah.
I just?
Oh, yeah. No, for wind? Sure. I mean, I think, look, we're all individuals. We're all experienced practitioners. And I think that, you know, we're all, each of us is going to find our own pathway forward and find our own best use of any kind of new technology. But for me, there's always been like that two stories. One is like, how does it change practice? How can we raise the standard of care through technology? And then how does it make our practices, you know, better and more efficient? And it's possible that you adopt a new technology actually and fail in both of those arenas, you know, but you can also be wildly successful if you really think through it and kind of get that, you know, level of training. But just to kind of go like, you know, deeper on this, I'll give an example for like digital braces. And in our practice, we use Lightforce. That's our digital bracket system. And I used to be of the mindset that, and this would be maybe like in my, actually for most of my practice that, okay, we had aligners, but for braces, you could, you know, I was always told you could treat with any bracket. You can, you know, treat with shoestring or, you know, dental floss. We can move teeth with anything. It's not, you know, about the bracket or the wire. And I still fundamentally believe that. Like, we can get amazing results. We're all well trained and we all have experience and we can get great results with any bracket system in theory, right? But I struggled with getting the results that I wanted for many years in terms of the control over the aesthetics and the smile arc and the torque. And you kind of come to the realization that, yeah, you can get there eventually, but it's at the expense of a lot of treatment time, a lot of appointments, a lot of detailing. And for me, like the story about technology is that I just feel it allows me to be a better orthodontist, that I can get to my treatment goals in a more efficient way, in a more controlled way, in a way that gives the patient a better result. And that's like kind of one part of the story that I tell when I speak about digital orthodontics, that it has to make us better orthodontists. It has to move that needle because we've all had that, you know, frustration for so long of being, you know, really limited, not by our imagination or our treatment planning, but by the appliance itself. And that's one of the great experiences we've had with you know, digital braces, just that level of clinical control. And the other side of it is just the efficiency. I remember back in like 2018, and I think we met around then and we're speaking about, you know, aligner systems. And I mean, I love aligners. They're amazing. You can't treat everything perfectly with aligners, but you can treat so much these days. You know, it's fantastic. And it got to the point where it was getting so efficient in our practice that I really felt the pain and that differential, that delta between the efficiency of the aligner cases and the routine braces. So yes, I could get that result if I put the appointments in and put the work in, but at what expense to myself, to my patients and my staff and all the appointments that were needed to get there. So at the time, I was really happy to find a digital orthodontic system that allowed me to really make that change in my practice and kind of get the efficiency I was seeing with the aligners with a fixed appliance system, which I never thought was possible. But what I was missing, the fact was that 3D printing and true customization of, you know, brackets does really open up tremendous opportunities. As an example, you know, with a 3D printed bracket, you're going to do a ton less detailing. And in my practice, like, I spent a ton of time detailing, you know, trying to get those perfect results to my referring dentist, because my next referral was only as good as my last result, right? And so, you know, the fact that you simply can spend less time doing that and more time focused on the actual treatment planning of the case, that makes a huge difference just for the practice, for the efficiencies, and ultimately that leads to the referrals and all of that. So I kind of see it as one big package like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Bravo, by the way. You just summed up everything related to digital orthodontics in like one really long. It reminds me of that scene from Old School with Will Ferrell in the debate. He just sort of suddenly takes the spirit on and he's debating James Carville and like makes one long sentence and James Carville says, "I have no rebuttal." There's like nothing I can say. That was really, 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 really well said. Like really well said, really well thought out.
And I
just want to go back and hit a couple of points that you hit, going way back to remote monitoring, right? And sure. you speak for some companies and you're above reproach with me, right? I don't care who you speak for, who you get paid by. I don't care. I know you're the kind of clinician doesn't care at all about that. That you're going to do what's right for your patients.
That's totally true.
Yeah. I for anybody out there who has even a question, you can tune out of the podcast right now, okay? Because this guy's above reproach. My question for you is, take dental monitoring, which you're using.
Yeah.
You know, I recently started a company called Remote Response not long ago, which does remote dashboard monitoring. So people don't have to do it. You know, nobody in the office has to do it. It can be done better, longer, more hours, quicker answers, whatever. But it allows me a lot of conversations at a deeper level with the folks at Dental Monitoring and at Grin and other companies. And I've said to Dental Monitoring that I feel like the message they said for a long time, which is that remote monitoring increases your capacity, right? That was the message they had. I said, that was one of the, I think the mistake of that message is because 99.999% of the people I know are not at capacity, right? We can always get leaner. We can always add another assistant. We can always change the schedule. We can always, we can always, right? But what I do find is that, yes, my patients get seen every week now,
yes,
digitally, as opposed to being seen every some arbitrary insert number of weeks here, right? Which is beautiful that we can watch them once a week as opposed to once a month or once a quarter or whatever that number is.
Absolutely.
But my days are less busy, which means I can work on the patients I have in front of me with more time. I can work on the ClinChecks or whatever I have to set up. I've got more time in the office to do it. And I'm producing the same amount of production with four assistants that I used to do with seven. That's which right. means that I'm much more productive. Do you feel like the old DJ Quick Compton DJ used to say, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, right? Like, do you feel like the big argument against it, nobody talks about the fact, let me rephrase that, few talk about the fact that one of the beauties of remote monitoring is the ability to reduce the stress on the system in general, however you want to define that, across the board. And when I asked my Orthopreneurs RD people, we had 90 of us in Nashville, and I asked you, raise your hands if in 2024, your main priority is more profitability or is your main goal lower stress? 87 hands out of 90 said lower stress, because we're all going to make enough money. And do you feel like, where's your thoughts on that argument with remote monitoring? Is it mostly for you because you get better results? Is it mostly because it lowers the stress on everybody? Does the cost play a role in any way? The fact you could be spending a little more money at the end of the day. What's your take on that side of it? Hello there, Orthopreneurs. Sign up for the Orthopreneurs 24 Summit now. We took over an entire ship just for us. And here's the thing. It's selling out so fast right now that the room types are selling out. So if there's a particular type of cabin you want, you better get on to opsummit2024.com right now and sign up. And why are people signing up? Because of three reasons. Number one, it's a boat, which means you can bring your team, your family. Yes, there's a kids club, and yes, there's an adults only pool. Number two, the lineup I have is going to be spectacular. These are not people you're going to see on any other stage anywhere. I dug deep to find the best to help you live your best, most profitable, most productive, personal, and practice lives. And they're going to blow you away. And number three, the type of cabin you want is limited. This is not a hotel where most of the rooms are the same. If you want one with a balcony, they're selling out. You want an inside room to save money? They're selling out. So go to opsummit2024.com right now. Sign up for a cruise September 18th to 22nd. And you will have the best CE time of your life. And now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes, yes, and yes. I think I kind of agree with what was going down at that meeting. I mean, from my perspective, I think in terms of your first point, in terms of the quality of care, no question that the ability to see our patient, however often they're scanning, right? Once a week, once every other week, the ability to see them, to check to make sure there's not been any adverse changes in their you know, dental health condition, recession, et cetera. Just the ability to have that window, I think it raises the quality of care considerably. And so, I mean, you can choose as a doctor to see the patient physically less in your practice with dental monitoring, because there's more that you, or grin, or what have you, whatever system you use, let's call it just, you know, remote monitoring writ large. You can see your patient less, but you don't have to, right? In other words, I have a lot of colleagues that still see their patients every 8 weeks, you know, kind of their standard interval, but now they're actually seeing them every week or every other week with remote monitoring. And I think it does lead to higher quality of observation care. I think we're offering a better service to our patient. And ultimately, it's going to create efficiencies, because if you can figure out that there's a bracket that got untied or lost an O-ring or came out of the clip, or, you know, there's a wire out, and catch it in week one of an 8 or 10 week, you know, cycle versus, you know, when they come in and the tooth is already rotated and moved out, when you promise they'd be getting their braces off next time. Exactly. You know, that's those are the things that start to move the needle on good control and good quality of care. So I totally agree on that. And in terms of the profitability thing, I mean, obviously any new technology is going to cost, but I certainly am one to always promote, you know, good quality of life as being the number one thing. And we all want to be, you know, profitable. And I think you're right. We definitely have a profitable profession. And at the end of the day, there's not too many things that can buy time, and time is our most precious resource. And so for me, remote monitoring is one of the things that puts time back on my schedule, and you can't put a price on that, really. The one thing I will say is that I thought it was an excellent insight, what you said, how, you know, there is this, now that we're in this world of digital technology where all these cases need digital planning, we do need to rebalance our schedules a little bit. Exactly. And right. And so, it's not like you're actually having all this free time. It's just that you need time now to work. You know, they say working in the patient, in the practice or on the practice. It's right. Like you have to work like in the patient's chart, not on the patient in the chair, right? So it's, so that really is an important part. And if you don't make that time, right, then digital orthodontics can be a nightmare, because suddenly you have all of these patients that you're seeing in the practice, plus all of your digital quote unquote homework, right? It shouldn't be homework, actually. This should be just kind of part of your day. And you can make that time with remote monitoring, as well as some other, you know, technologies that are there. And Glenn, I share your passion for, you know, remote care here. And I think it's an amazing thing what you did with your new you know, venture into remote. I'm not sure if you're aware, but I've also been involved recently in a venture called myorthova.com. And I know your particular venture specializes in assistance for remote monitoring per se, but myorthova.com, essentially what it is a remote virtual assistant staffing service where we're able to provide a remote employee full-time for the practice at a fraction of the cost of a standard employee. And these are employees who are trained by our team, and then are placed, and they're placed in orthodontic practices.
That's awesome.
We've had a lot of early, we just launched in January. We've had a lot of early success. And essentially the way I explain it is that a ortho VA can do any role that can be done by a phone or a computer.
Exactly. Right?
So our VA is in the Philippines, and she has our Weave system, and she has our, you know, computer system, and she is logged into Slack and is a full-fledged, you know, like administrative employee in our practice. And so we're seeing some great, you know, feedback from the ortho practices that have taken this on. And I completely agree with you that if you want to scale these concepts in your practice, you have to think of innovative ways to do it. And using, you know, some kind of remote assistance is definitely the way to go.
I didn't know that about you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've been using virtual assistants from the Philippines for years and years and years. And I think what people, we didn't even know this when we came onto this podcast, but I do want to go on this for just a second to let people know something. When we started Remote Response, right, I got Jenna Glass, who's speaking at Summit. She was the head clinical trainer for all of Fishbein Ortho. So this woman rocks, right, in training. And I knew I needed an exceptional trainer, because unlike you, where you're putting people into many different positions as a virtual assistant, we needed to do remote monitoring of a dashboard spectacularly well. But what people don't realize is that when you hire these folks from the Philippines, they are really smart, right? Because intelligence knows no borders. They are really driven. And the kicker is, this is probably the best job that anybody in their family has.
Absolutely. Right?
And so when I talk to people, say, oh, you get a remote monitoring coordinator, somebody who's monitoring, you say, how many hours a day is she monitoring? Well, we have her 8 to 5, Monday through Thursday. And, you know, I guarantee you, she is not sitting in front of a computer the way Ace or Paula or one of my remote monitors is. They literally, they're begging us. They'll do 40, 50 hours a week. They want more. Can I get more hours? We are monitoring practices from 7 a.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Pacific, 5 days a week using our monitors. Nobody's being overworked. I promise. It's in shifts. But the point is, I'm getting 75 hours of coverage for practices because the Filipino virtual assistants, who are brilliant, work hard, and really want your business to grow as much as they want their pocketbook to grow. And so for anybody looking for a virtual assistant through what you're talking about, through your endeavor, I can tell you that whoever you get matched up with is going to work. It's hard for me to say this. They're going to work harder, smarter, and longer hours than any American employee you will hire for double the price, period.
Yeah, Glenn, I cannot agree with you more. And actually, what we're finding, it's actually more than double the price. Because when you think about having a $25, like a $20 or $25 employee, so that's, you know, $50,000 a year on payroll, but then there's taxes and all the other benefits and health insurance. So, you know, it actually can be even, you know, even more savings than you mentioned. But we are absolutely finding the same thing. One of the things that I, that kind of brought me to this is that 2018, 2019, prior to COVID, we had a VA as well from the Philippines. And he was fantastic. But one of the things we realized was that he came into it not knowing anything about orthodontics, not knowing anything about how to read a treatment card, what orthodontics even is. And we kind of threw him into it. We did some training, but there was no context, and it makes the onboarding challenging. And as we know, some offices are really good at bringing in new technology, and others, you know, really benefit from a system that will help them onboard that. And so what we've created is essentially a system to help take these really, as you said, incredibly talented, driven people, give them 2 weeks of training in orthodontics,
right?
From everything from knowing what a tooth is, right, to braces, aligners, everything, you know, kind of up to date for the modern market, but also insurance, financials, marketing, customer service, and kind of getting them prepped to work in an ortho office and have that kind of context. And we're finding that it's a great formula because they're coming in, you know, they're not 100%, but they're 80%. And then, and then the office figures out what is the best role for them in their practice, you know, and or multiple roles, because sometimes we just need someone to fill in a lot of these little kind of soft spots in our office that aren't getting done, whether it's running overdue reports or checking on insurance or all these things that just take a lot of time for our normal, very expensive employees.
Yep.
It allows us to scale that concept really well.
Yeah. And I hope people, if they want to reach out to you, how do they contact you about that?
So they can go to our website. It's called myorthova.com.
Virtual assistant, folks. VA, not Virginia. Virtual assistant.
Right. Virtual assistant.
And again, I'll say this. It's maddening to me when we have options like what you offer and what I offer. I'm telling people that we can do dashboard monitoring better than they can because our ladies are trained only in dashboard monitoring. They've got the skill set and they go through 5 full weeks of training before they ever, and then they work on my dashboard before we let them loose on anybody else. And we can do it less expensively. We can do it for 75 hours a week. We respond in minutes, not days, not hours. Right. We reduce people typically by 40 to 60% reaction time to their patients. And yet doctors will look at me now and go, my system's working amazingly. It's really good. I got a bit. And I'm like, I try to tell people like what you're doing and what I'm doing, it's kind of like watching a GP do ortho, knowing what an ortho can do, right? Like, like a GP thinks they're doing really good ortho until they sit down with an orthodontist who shows them, but this is what I can do. And I would just encourage everybody out there, if you're struggling with staffing on any level, if you're looking to make your lives easier, and we didn't come into the podcast out of this conversation.
We actually didn't.
We didn't. But if you're looking to do this, I encourage everybody, talk to Alex about getting a virtual employee in your practice, because it will make your life immeasurably easier. Outsource, outsource, outsource. That's the key right now in 2024. Yeah. You're working short-staffed. Wages are up considerably. Stress is through the ceiling. If you can take something off your plate and get it done properly, whether it's dashboard maintenance through remote response, whether it's anything that you can do on a computer or a phone remotely through what Alex is talking about, please, I'm begging you, consider outsourcing. It'll save you money, a lot of money. And more importantly, it'll give you that quality of life you really need. And so
I'm glad. Well, absolutely. Glenn, you know, I will mention one of our advisors is Chris Benson. Just he understands this space so well in terms of overhead and, you know, digital ortho. And Chris has been speaking a lot. I don't know if you've heard Chris speak recently, but this has been one of his major topics that he knows we're all going down this path into the digital or orthodontic practice, you know, each at our own pace, each at our own kind of like, you know, level of comfort. But the future of orthodontics does appear to be moving very strongly in that direction. And obviously with that comes that increase lab cost, right, of these cases, which is something we have to consider, of course. I mean, like we were saying before, it's worth it and you're going to get eventually balance out that quality of life. But at some point, the rubber hits the road and you have to pay those lab bills that you're not used to paying.
Right.
And so Chris really makes a very strong argument for the fact that if we look at what's our other major line item, right, in our practices is staff,
right?
It's going to be staff and lab bills. And he said, in the smart orthodontic practice of the future, lab bills will go up because it'll make us do ortho better and easier. And staff will go down because we're going to be seeing patients fewer times because digital ortho is more efficient, but also because we're going to be leaning on more innovative solutions like your solution, Glenn, and our solution for utilizing, you know, this external talent to kind of make things more efficient for us. So just wanted to kind of add some color on that as well.
No, it's 100% true. And again, I'm going to say this out loud to everybody. Inflation has been through the ceiling. Costs are through the ceiling. If your fees are the same fees you were charging last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, businesses don't stay the same price forever and ever. And if you went to go get ortho done 15 years ago, you were paying $5,000 for an ortho case. And if you're going to get ortho today, in many practices, you're paying $5,000 for an ortho case. And people were being paid $10 an hour back then, and now they're making $30 an hour. Your rent was $2,000 a month back then. Now it's $6,000. You really should consider, if you're not running your practice with a P&L and figuring out how to run effectively and stay at a certain overhead amount, I'm just telling you, you need to change what you're doing. Again, self-serving, get yourself to Orthopreneur Summit. Go sit at a table at dinner with 5, 7, 10 other orthodontists and pick their brain on fees. Because I'm telling you now, if your fees are the same today as they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, you're making way less money than you should. And you're charging way less than even your patients are expecting you to charge. And so, I know you're probably right in line with that message too.
I completely agree. It's always a hard thing for us to do because I think we tend to have a lot of fear around that, right? That if we raise our fees, okay, that's going to cross some magic line that, okay, at that point, no one's going to start, right? But I think from speaking to colleagues and friends, you know, that just never happens, right? If anything, it helps to, you know, build in the right amount of profitability and, you know, sets the expectations correctly. So I completely agree with you, Glenn.
We just spent a whole bunch of time talking about stuff we never expected to talk about, and we're running short on time. But what I do want to tell everybody here is one of the main reasons I wanted to bring Alex on is because he's speaking at a meeting that I can't wait to be at. For those of you out there who've seen Drs. Sherry and Gannon speak, they are remarkably talented surgeons. They do really, really good work. Really love their patients. And you may have seen them speak out there if you've watched anything. They did a Surgidonics course on Orthopreneurs University that you should definitely check out, talking about MARPEs and domes and orthognathic surgery and things that you can take back to your surgeon. And actually, if your surgeon is willing to watch the video with them to understand how to do MARPEs properly, how to do a dome properly. A lot of surgeons are never trained in it. And so they're going to talk to you about the selection criteria based on age, gender, morphology, you know, anatomy of the palate. And they're great guys. But they also run a Surgidonics conference. And I'm lucky enough to be registered. I'm a paying registrant just like anybody else. It's April 4th to 7th, in Palm Desert, folks. And you get a chance to sit with Alex. He's going to be one of the speakers. Sherry and Gannon are going to be speaking. And Maz Moshiri is going to be speaking. It's going to be an amazing 3 days in an amazing, I think it's the JW Marriott, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's a great hotel. And again, we don't have a ton of time left, but I do want to touch on this a little bit. And by the way, if anybody wants to go and check it out, the website, it'll be in the show notes if you need to go look there. But you can also go to IOS, the Institute for Orthognathic Surgery, IOSUS.com/2024-surgidonics-conference. It's not the easiest to navigate, but if you just simply, you'll see the link in the show notes and you can go click on it. Space is limited. It's not a 100-person meeting. It's a 10 to 30 person meeting. It's really small, really intimate, where you'll get a chance to really ask a ton of questions. I've been to their meetings before. It's driven, you know, where I've wanted to be in terms of surgical, because I love it. And, you know, I think that Alex and I could sit here and talk surgical orthodontics for the next
four
hours. But in the next few minutes that we've got, just if we can just touch on this a little bit. We talked before we came on the air. My practice is predominantly adults. My associate partner, Dr. Erin Albritton, giving you a shout out, Erin. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Love her to death. She treats most of the kids in the practice. I treat most of the adults. I'm probably 85% adults, and I take the cases that nobody likes. I love cuspid impactions. I love orthognathic surgery. I love MARPI. I love DOME. I like interdisciplinary implant cases. I like all of that because that's what I did for 20 years as a restorative dentist, and I'll take one of those for two kids all day long. But you and I spoke about this a little bit beforehand, and what I want to get your feedback on is that it's my belief that when you treat these patients, I think, A, they're far more thankful at the end than that 14-year-old kid who gets the braces off and didn't pay a penny and doesn't even acknowledge that, you know, they even look in the mirror at their smile. Number two, I'm not saying you ever gouge anybody. I was taken to the mat by the father of orthodontics in Dallas. His name is Terry Adams. And he took me to the mat and said, Glenn, you don't charge enough for your surgical treatment cases. So just know that when I charge what I want to charge, people never bat an eye. They always say yes. They don't argue. They're not looking for three different people. And if you can somehow find a way to differentiate your practice to be a surgically driven practice where, yes, maybe you are using a lot of digital technology or maybe you're not. But if you have a stepwise way of working with a good surgeon to put practices in place that make your life easier, not tougher, you'll have easier practice, you'll make way more money, you'll have more fulfilling outcomes, and much greater profitability. Now I just gave you a ton there. What do you think about that, Alex?
I completely agree. I mean, something I've been talking about and thinking about for a long time is, you know, what is the future of us as specialists, right? I mean, we always know there's going to be kids and whatnot, but I'm sure we all have the pediatric practice down the road that just brought in an orthodontist and,
right,
you know, that's going to hit the referrals. And we have the general dentists that are doing more and more. And so I've kind of been really thinking that the future of us as a specialist is to really lean in on our specialty skills, right? And that's going to be where we're going to really grow in the future. And there's tons of those cases out there, right? So I've always done a ton of surgical, whether, and when I say surgical, I mean orthognathic, but also anything that involves an oral surgeon, right? TADs and MARPIs and, you know, corticotomies and, you know, all that, impactions, obviously. So that's always been a big part of my practice. A, because I love it like you do, Glenn, because it's like so rewarding. But also it's just a nice way to differentiate a practice and to be that like go-to practice in your community. Because when people know that you can do the really difficult things, they're also going to trust you with those really straightforward things and with their kids, of course. So I couldn't agree with you more. I also completely believe that it's important to charge a fair fee for that service, particularly when you put in a lot of time, like you're going to go to the surgidonics, right? Of course, right. And you're taking time and effort and learning those skills. And that's why you're able to do it. So 100%. I will tell you though, Glenn, a funny story about the surgidonics course. Don't worry, 30 seconds.
It's okay.
The last time I actually have spoken at this meeting before, and the dates were March 13th and 14th, 2020. And it was in Taos, New Mexico. I don't think you were at that one.
No, I remember that one.
And it was literally,
I've heard stories about that one.
COVID was going down. I mean, they were literally shutting down the ski resort while we were there. And funny enough, I had chosen the topics like, you know, months before. It was like the summer before, so summer of 2019. And my topics were remote monitoring, virtual consultations,
unbelievable,
and digital braces. And I sat there at the meeting talking about like dental monitoring and SmileSnap and all these things I was doing. And I kind of got a lot of blank stares in the audience. And I was like, oh, I guess maybe this is not such a relevant topic. Maybe it's just something I'm interested in. Boom, the next day it became relevant for all of us. So that was like a crazy thing. And I've spoken to Steve Shardy about that. And we looked back at that and laughed. But I think this is going to be a really great meeting. First of all, one of my orthodontic heroes is speaking there, Maz Mashiri. Maz and I are going to kind of split the time. And I'll be doing the first day on mostly digital braces. So it'll be kind of like fixed appliances. And how do we have to like think about changing how we think about digital appliances to be able to treat these kind of more complex? Or how can we like really optimize our digital appliances and our digital custom prescriptions to be able to utilize that for these more complex TADS cases, extraction cases, impactions, and orthognathic surgery? There is a huge story to tell there. I think that digital braces, customized braces, really opens up a lot of opportunities in those more difficult cases. So we're going to take a deep dive into understanding all of that. And then in the afternoon, I'm going to be doing just a deep dive into really complex kind of surgical cases and various types of impactions. I think it's going to be a really fun day. Maz, I know, is going to be speaking about aligners and orthognathic surgery. And so kind of the concept of the program is that in 2 days, attendees will be able to get a ton of information about how to deal with all of these types of surgical cases from orthognathics, impactions, TADS, et cetera, with your digital appliances. And so that's really going to be, I think, just a ton of fun. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I can't thank you enough for being here today, Alex. I suspect that, you know, if we sat down, had a drink or two or a nice meal, we could probably do this for about 6 or 8 hours.
Because, oh, I'm sure.
You know, the things that I do, the things you do them far better than I do. But I've
certainly
learned,
not.
I've learned so much from you, and I've learned from the people who've learned from you. And, you know, just how to submit a case the right way, how to, you know, notes and preferences and standard operating procedures with aligner cases. The body of work that you've turned out is remarkable. And the number of students you have out there who just give you such accolades is incredible. And you can always judge a teacher by their students. And, you know, the people who I know who love you, the guys like Scott Runnels and a whole bunch of other people I could throw out there, just I've learned so much just through osmosis of being around them. And I can't wait to see you in April. And I just hope that a lot of people out there give this meeting a chance. I know it's limited. Once it's closed, it's closed. So please, everybody, read the show notes, click on the link, go to the meeting, sign up, and let's all hang out together in Palm Desert. It should be fun.
Thanks, this has been so fun. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, really thank you so much as well. And I really appreciate you. And I'll see you in the not too distant future.
Yeah, we'll see you in Palm Desert.
Yes, sir. Take care.